You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Neil Williams, only on LA Talk Radio.
All right. Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another show here on LA Talk Radio, Concierge Coaches Show. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with Neil Williams. We have a special guest with us today that we'll be seeing really often through over the next years or decade. We'll see how things go. But our third partner in crime on our sober living criteria and content, Mr. Sherrod Ellis. Sherrod, thanks for coming on the show today.
Oh yeah, greatly appreciated. Hope that everybody's doing well.
Mm-hmm. Everybody's doing well, doing well. And Sherrod, you and I go back many, many years. I think it was in the 1998, 1997, 98, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You was my undergrad professor.
Right. That's right. I was a senior adjunct faculty for Columbia College. I taught for them for about 21 years. So good stuff. Was glad to be there on the Naval Air Station Joint Reserve Base in Fort Worth. So it was good to.
I didn't realize you taught for 21 years.
Yeah, man. I taught. I think I taught every psychology class nearly in that school. And in 2004, they went to online, and I became an online only. I was doing seat classes from 1994. To 2004 at the base. And the class would be on Mondays from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m.
Jeez.
Yeah.
That's a killer class.
And we got all our money's worth.
That's for sure.
So when they changed it in 2004, how did that affect you?
Well, they didn't. I mean, they kept on doing C classes.
Oh, okay.
It's so funny because in 2004 it was kind of cowboys and Indians, and the president of the college was saying he didn't want it to be called edutainment. He wanted real school, and we assured him that online was going to be the way of the future, and it certainly has done that. And then they opened up their online division. It is swimmingly successful. They have a major contract with all the military bases, or many military bases, and a lot of our veterans go to school at Columbia College.
Oh, wow. So,
it's been a good program, but it's really, really fun to be there in the beginning of online and take it for a good run. And then, so now we're all in private practice now exclusively. So, but it was certainly a fun deal. Well, Sherrod, I know that you're a mentor, and Neil's a coach, and I know that you mentor individuals. You're going to continue to do so, and part of that relationship is setting goals. So tell us a little bit about what's going on with how you do that, and walk us through the process.
Oh, yes, sir. I chose to become a mentor because I like the aspect that you can provide that support to the support. If someone is dealing with, well, they may have a therapist, they may have a coach or whatever, but the mentoring aspect provides that up close and personal experience to where you give a little insight, little advice, little direction, kind of help them establish goals. That can be in the area of personal goals, professional goals, academic goals, sober living, sober goals. I mean, it could just go cover the whole spectrum. I chose that mentoring because I just like that perspective of just being able to be almost like extended family. And there's no perimeters around, you know, when you can meet, where you can meet, the content that you discuss. As when you look at the other aspects of therapy, you know, there are certain places that you can meet. There are certain relationships that you can establish and certain ones that you cannot. So I kind of like the flexibility and the freedom of you know, just being able to be in a person's life in a very unique way, and provide a support service. And so, as we know, that's something for a lot of people, particularly people who struggle, you know, maybe with addiction mm-hmm. issues, maybe with mental health issues. Having that unique person in your life is very special sometimes. And sometimes when you look at a person that's in the role of a therapist or the role of a counselor or a case manager, the role of a parent, sometimes that can create a lot of barriers, because sometimes we have those, some people have, individuals have those preconceived thoughts based on myths and stereotypes of what it means to go to therapy. For instance, some people may think that, oh, you cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs because, you know, you're weak because you have to go and see a therapist. So I think with that mentoring position, it eliminates a lot of that stigma.
Right. Yeah. And I also that's also why a lot of the appeal for coaching for me. And I know today I think you were going to talk about more specifically in a situation where you're in that mentoring role and someone might be wanting to set goals. I think you're going to talk to us a little bit about that today, correct?
Absolutely. So what I'd like to do, if it's okay with you all, you gentlemen, is go ahead and kind of just go into that a little bit in reference to when you have someone, particularly the way I meet them and the way that I have met them in the past. I have been in the position of, had the fortune to be in a position as a therapist for sober living at a Mesa Springs hospital. And I ran the sober living unit. So in that role, establishing goals were a lot different than in the capacity that I'm in now, where having my own private practice as a mentor and my own business. So within the facility, when a person comes in, the uniqueness is being able to get them to establish goals. And one of the methods that I like to use and curriculum is from the SMART recovery. And they have the SMART goals. And so what I like about the SMART goals is because it allows you to kind of dive deep into having parameters and guidelines on how you set those goals and things that you can measure those goals by. So I really love that because, again, it allows them the framework of really going deep and not just setting surface level goals. So you're able to be able to evaluate. So let's say the S is for specific. So we want an individual to be able to come in and specifically specify, you know, what is it that I need to get out of this experience? And as a standard question would be, why now? You know,
well, when you say experience, do you mean the time in that facility?
Well, no, the time before, prior to. Okay. In your life, you know, we're walking this walk. We're not talking the talk, but we're walking the walk in the light of at-risk behaviors.
Okay.
So at some point, a person has to make a decision. Why do I want to get help? Right. You know, I need help. So a good question a lot of times when people come into a facility or come into a sober living situation, we want to ask, well, why now? That's important. You know, what made you show up now? You know, now, because that's key to me in understanding, what are you really here for? Are you really going to put the work in? Are you court ordered? Because we know, Dr. Cameron, when we deal with people who are court ordered, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're committed to the change or they're committed to that experience. I may just be going through the motion because I know that if I don't, I could be facing incarceration. So I'd rather go this route to where it's a lot more friendly. Maybe I can keep my freedom and go on about my business. So you want to establish, I love the fact of being able to establish specifically, what is it that you're here for? What do you want to get out of this experience? Let's look at from a personal place and let's look at a professional place. If you're dealing with someone who is working or someone who is a higher achiever, you want to make sure that, hey, okay, I know that you're working. I know that you're successful in that, because we all know too, being successful, sometimes we can hide behind our success. And we use that as a means, just like we use drugs and alcohol as a mask. So it's good to establish, as someone who's providing support, it's great to establish specific goals that you want to accomplish, personal goals, because I think that's important. So as a mentor, I have the flexibility of being able to not only provide insight, and sometimes they say direction and advice, whereas sometimes as a therapist, you're not supposed to really coerce or make it seem like you're supposed to be trying to give them the answers or things of that nature. And as a coach, I'll let you guys kind of speak on as a coach. A lot of times we just want to allow them to answer a lot of questions. Well, what does that goal look like for you? What type of goal would you like to set here? Whereas as a mentor, a lot of times we give that direction and says, hey, I'd like to see you set this goal for yourself. And this is the role that I would like to be in to help you accomplish that goal. So it's more directive. It's more hands-on and giving that direction versus sometimes I know in coaching, we kind of allow them to kind of formulate those thoughts and kind of formulate those answers. You guys have anything on that?
I do have a question. In regard to the different types of goals, so you have physical, professional, recovery related, personal, relationship goals. Do you have individuals who struggle with priority, and do you guide them on that? Meaning, if their top priority was professional goal, when they've got a lot of personal stuff, how do you handle a situation like that?
Absolutely. That's a great question. Yeah. The first thing that I like to focus on is the personal, because we know that personally, if you're not together, if you're not at peace within yourself, a lot of time that kind of precipitates a lot of the behavior that you display. Sometimes the attitude that you may have or you may possess. I'm a high achiever professionally. I may have become a Fortune 500 business owner, a CEO, but in my personal life, in my marriage, or as a father, or as a brother, or as a friend, I may fall short in those areas. So that creates an internal eruption, and I'm not really happy. So what do? I'm a workaholic, potentially. Mm-hmm. I create these facades and these opportunities where I can stay out of that role. I don't have to give so much role as a parent, because as long as I'm a provider, mm-hmm. I don't have to really be so much present there with you physically or emotionally, because I'm providing. And so I hide behind that mask. So personal goals is very important to me.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
And I like that. And as we move to the second one, like you say, as we're doing that, we define that specific goal a lot of times. What is it that you want to accomplish personally, mm-hmm. Professionally? And we define those goals. And I'm more equipped to go, like I said, again, personally first. So we defined it specifically. So now how are we going to measure the fact that you may be going in the right direction? Mm-hmm. So a lot of times we, as therapists or coaches, we have these guidelines that we follow. We say, hey, set these timelines up, short-term, mid-term, long-term goal. And sometimes we check in and say, hey, well, how's it going for you? Are you accomplishing those things? What's the difficulties? The luxury that I have as a mentor, I go in hands-on and kind of keep a evaluation log of, okay, I'm going to check in with you every other day just to make sure that these goals are getting accomplished. So it's coaching in a sense, but it's very hands-on,
yeah,
to make sure you're following. Yes, yes, sir. Accountability, making sure you're responsible for the things you say, the things you do, the people that you hang around, the kind of attitudes, and even goes down to music. Sometimes you have to, encourage or invite individuals to change what you listen to, because we know that music is a great influencer. And when the type of music you listen to is usually the type of people you hang around. So a lot of individuals that I have the privilege of mentoring, a lot of those individuals come from impoverished neighborhoods. And so they like a lot of the rap music. And so we know some of the lyrics and the persona that is portrayed sometimes is being this tough guy,
aggressive,
things of that nature. So if you have an individual, which I fortunately encounter a lot of those individuals, it's about trying to decrease the attraction to that. I have to be aggressive because I'm a man. I have a client now, a mentee that I'm dealing with now, that's what he feels, that he has to be aggressive. I have to be this tough guy, because if I don't, who's going to accept me? And so that's a tough mindset to be in, to where am I really being myself? And that's why I like the personal goals, because again, I want to know, working with you, am I working with you or am I working with the imposter? Yeah. Am I working with a facade, an image that you're trying to portray, but that's not really you. So if that's not you and you have this identity crisis, how are you going to present yourself, you know, to the right people in the right space and place to get the best out of yourself?
Yeah. And if you don't learn that, you could waste a lot of time working on something that's essentially an illusion. Right.
Absolutely. Huh. It's almost like an actor actress. You know, I get to escape on the stage. And, you know, every day we all come out, we have a stage, we have a platform, you know, we come out, we serve the people that we choose to. And I always say we have two relationships that we have to fulfill every day. And that's a vertical relationship. You know, how are you spiritually set? I mean, what are you grounded in your spirituality? And then we have a horizontal relationship, and that's all the people that we run into every day. So if I'm not being real to me and I'm living for everyone else or just for this image, then that can create a lot of internal eruption and disbelief in yourself. And so you start reaching and grasping for different vices to help you kind of mask it and just to fake it till you make it.
So what are some measurables that you would set? You're talking about measurables, ways to measure your progress, correct?
Yes.
What are some examples of a measurable that someone would set in this situation?
One of the good measurables that I really use with individuals is, take some time away from listening to your music of choice. You know, see what it would be like for you if you just took a week and you didn't listen to Lil Wayne, or you didn't listen to Pow Wow, or you didn't listen to
Too Short. You
know, huh?
Too short.
Dude, there you go.
Too Short's been slanging vulgar lyrics for like 30 years now.
You know, what's my favorite word? You know, and all that kind of stuff. So kind of trying to, you know, just desensitize yourself to where, hey, I don't really need to listen to this and see what happens. And it's almost like a tolerance break, just like we would say with drugs. Yeah. I mean, when we look at drugs and alcohol use, that's what we say, right? Take a tolerance break, allow your brain, allow your body to reset itself. So that would be one thing, one example of how to measure, to say, what is it like that you didn't listen to your rap music this week at all? I mean, whether it's good, clean rap from back in the day, you know, the Wu-Tang Clan, or if it's listening to today's NWA or Slim Thug, you know, what was it like for you this week where you didn't have that component? And so you can measure to see their answers, you know, or their attitude, you know, is it a little different? Am I a little bit more reserved and kind of like, oh, okay, I'm a little bit different, I'm a little bit more relaxed, or, hey, man, I didn't like that. You know, you can kind of gauge, what influence does this music really have in this individual's life?
Bruce, did you have any questions on measurables? Because I have another one, but I wanted to see if you had something.
Well, I mean, often, let's look at the fact that a lot of these folks that we might be seeing have come out of a treatment center. And, you know, they have multiple goals. Their first goal was to get out of the treatment center.
Mm-hmm. Right?
And then their second goal, not knowing that they might be working with us for 90 days, that's going to be another set of goals. And so when we're talking about that time of transition, the goals are going to speak for themselves given the station of life that they're in.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, and something that I've encountered when you're in a controlled environment, you know, the goals, like you said, are, it's a little bit easier to have these measurables. And something that I've encountered when we're out of that controlled environment and we set measurables and they aren't being met, and I confront the individual about this and they say, well, I feel better. You know, I feel good. Okay. I'm glad. You know, we want them to feel positive and good. But the way I always explain it to them is, this is very much a proactive approach. Mm-hmm. And certainly when you're dealing with folks in recovery, it's
sure, you feel good, but you're feeling better probably because of your behaviors up to this point have been healthy. But what's going to happen when you're not prepared for that old behavior to just take place? And I talked to a guy last night about this. He's like, yeah, I haven't been doing my stuff, but, you know, I feel good. Things are going good. It's like, for now. You know, and I always want to remind them that this is very much we're setting ourselves up. But I digress. Back to the Sherrod.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because, again, people who struggle with addiction, drug use and disorders and stuff like that, absolutely, that's one of the main issues. You feel good. So one of the things that I challenge with is sometimes what feels good doesn't mean that it's right. Mm-hmm. So the goal is to reach for what feels right, you know, not what feels good. So, I mean, because, again, person that's struggling like that, I want to take you away from feeling good. I appreciate the fact that you feel good, but what you're doing doesn't make you feel right. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, can you look in the mirror and truly say to yourself that beyond feeling good, I know I did what was right for that day. Mm-hmm. I know in a sense of integrity that, you know, I promised Mr. Neil and I promised myself that, hey, I'm going to try to reach these goals every day. I'm going to display a certain attitude, certain behavior. And even when I'm confronted with a crisis, I'm still going to use and implement those techniques and skills that I was taught, and that I do that every day, and that I don't fall short. And if I do fall short, I'm man enough to say, hey, let me make this phone call, or let me jot this down, so the next time that I do talk to a Bruce Cameron or to a Neil or to a Sherrod, that I can be honest that, hey, man, look, I fell short, and this is why I fell short. Because it's a continued process of trying to accomplish these goals. Mm-hmm. And like you say, on any level, whether it's I'm an advanced guy because I'm a multimillionaire and I'm successful in my business, but I still may not be successful in my personal life, or I still may not even be happy with how I'm running my business, because I may have some practices that may not be good practices. Mm-hmm. And it may not always be the right practice. But because it feels good, because I just made this $1 million, but it doesn't feel right. And that could be something too that a person could struggle with. Yeah. I made this deal because now I'm focused on making money. Mm-hmm. And that's my obsession. Money driven. Mm-hmm. And so performance driven. So, man, I know it's wrong for me to take this elderly couple's retirement, but man, that's $100 million, that's $100,000 or $200,000 that, hey, I can send my child to school. Mm-hmm. I made the money, I made the transaction, but I'm not happy inside because I know it wasn't the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. So that's the aspect that I like to come from when it comes down to feeling good or feeling right.
Right. That's good.
And so that's a standard measure that I like to use for individuals to challenge that. Am I in line with my vertical? And for those that don't believe in that vertical, you believe in something or someone that motivates you to do what you do. Mm-hmm. So for a person that's maybe negative all the time, hey, man, well, that's just what it is. You know, because, you know, some people like to misquote things or take things out of context, man. Mm-hmm. You know, finders, keepers, losers, weepers. You know, it's not my fault that they're naive. Right. So when you have that kind of individual, you know, you want to find out where did that type of thinking come from? Mm-hmm. Kind of get to the root of it.
So after you establish those measurables, what's the next step?
Well, after you establish those measurables, you want to make sure that they can attain it, because you want to make sure that you're not setting unrealistic goals.
Right.
You don't want to set a goal that you know that they cannot attain. Mm-hmm. So you want to keep in mind that while you're establishing these goals and you're setting these goals, can this individual attain these? Is this something that's within their scope of their DNA, their makeup? Mm-hmm. And the behavior that they've shown and the attitude that they have, is this something that, even though it may be a short term, like Mr. Bruce said, I just want to get through this process, mm-hmm. whether it's 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, my focus is getting through it. But the things that we set in place, will that set you up for success or will that set you up for failure?
Well, and this can be a touchy area because you don't want to discourage anybody. Mm-hmm. You know, if someone's enthusiastic and, you know, they have this fire and they feel like they can conquer the world, which we know can also be a dangerous place. And in fact, in recovery, they call it being on your pink cloud, you know, where you come in and just everything's fantastic. And I'm sober and I know the 12 steps and I can tell everyone in here mm-hmm. how to handle any life situation, because damn it, I've been in here 30 days, you know, Mm-hmm. But so in that situation, when you have someone who comes to you with a tall order and you want them to be enthusiastic, how would you respond to that? When clearly the goal, okay, so an example, someone who's new in treatment and their goal is to buy a house and a vehicle within 3 months of being out. That's tough unless you're financially set. Mm-hmm. So how would you handle that situation?
First of all, how confident are you that you can do that? Mm-hmm. Evaluate your situation. You know, does your current situation afford you that luxury of being able to have that type of decision? Or having that type of luxury to say, okay, I can buy a house and I can buy a car at the same time. You know what I mean? And if it doesn't, how do we get back to a place to where we can still keep you motivated, keep you focused on doing that, but keep it real, keep it relevant, and keep it realistic that right now I may not be able to buy both. Which one is most important to you at this time?
So you would ask them to actually do the numbers right there and say, okay, show me how this is going to work.
Absolutely. Lay it out there. And do you, and once you lay it out there in front of you, do you feel confident that you can do this? Mm-hmm. Do you feel confident that you can, the goals that you have set, the measurables that you have in place, do you feel comfortable and confident that you can do this? And if not, let's go back to the drawing board and let's figure out a way to where you can feel comfortable and confident that I can accomplish this goal. So, you know, like you say, we want to meet them where they're at, but we want to bring them where we know they deserve to be.
Yeah.
That's the mindset good. That we have to have, you know, as being, put in that position to be the mentor, or the coach, or the therapist.
Yeah.
It's just being able to meet them where they're at and just be able to say, okay, I know where this person needs to be, but I need to set it up from a place where they can relate to it, they feel comfortable with it, and they're willing to go for it.
Right.
Appropriate level of empowerment while still, you know, staying grounded a little bit.
Absolutely.
That's good. What's the next step after you've establish that these measurables are attainable?
Are they relevant? Are they relevant to the goals that you really need to set? Are they really relevant? Are they realistic and are they relevant? The thing sometimes that I've experienced is that some people that I've come in contact with, the goals that they are setting within the environment of getting clean or getting sober are not relevant to the issues that they have coming in. For example, like I'm not trustworthy. I'm stealing because I'm you know, when we get on that stuff like heroin and stuff like that, where we, it's a physiological deal and we're stealing and we're robbing, we're doing those type things, and I've burned a lot of bridges. So to set a false goal for yourself because you don't really want to, I don't really want to stop. And you know, sometimes we get that. I don't really want to stop, so I'm going to set these goals that were kind of padded, make it look like I want to stop, make it look like and make it sound like I want to stop. But is it really that you want to stop, or is it really that you just want to go through the motions? So we got to make sure that, I guess in the way I feel in my position and in our position, I'll just speak for me in my position, I've got to be able to decipher. Yeah. Is this goal right now that we're setting, is it really relevant? Because if it's not relevant, there's no need of us really wasting time on it. And I don't want to discourage, but we have to be creative enough and unique enough to where we can represent that to them, to where they can say, okay, and have that aha moment. Okay, maybe you're right. Sometimes you'll get a person to say that. Maybe you're right. Maybe I do need to revisit. Maybe I am just in here BSing. Maybe I do need to reconsider some things. Mm-hmm. So we want to definitely make sure that it's relevant. And relevant means in the next 12 months, is this relevant to your life? Is it going to elevate your life, or is it going to devastate your life?
I bet, Bruce, with your background, surely you've experienced some of that. Some folks talking about, oh, well, I'm doing this, 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 and this. And you're sitting there, well, that's not why we're here.
Yeah. I think the task at hand is that everybody we're going to work with is going to have to reintegrate back into their work environment. And their family environment, and they're going to have to create a sober environment and a sober support network to help them keep up with their abstinence and their recovery. So if the goals that everybody we're going to see are going to be fairly common in with those food groups. How are you going to continue to stay sober? How are you going to reintegrate with your family or not, as the case may be? How are you going to continue in with your job or have a work-life balance? Now, we may have other clients that are on their way into an IOP or a more inpatient treatment experience. And so we'll work with those clients as well with those goals. But in the kind of the traditional 90-day sober living format, it's going to be kind of what I talked about here a few minutes ago. So I think that's the good news, right? Because we don't have to dig too deep. We want to get to know our clients, but we kind of know that now they've finished inpatient treatment and they're with us for the next 90 days, what we need to do to get them ready for the rest of their life or for that next chapter. Right. So that's one thing I like about this is the clarity. You know, and the reason and the purpose that they're with us. It's pretty, I think it's pretty clear for the most part.
So we've got specifics, measurables. Is it attainable? Is it relevant? What would come after relevance is established, confirmed, however you want to say it.
That would be time. I mean, what's the time frame? You know, what's the time frame that you would like to accomplish this goal? What do you give yourself? You know, how much time do you give yourself to do this? Is this a short-term goal? Is this a long-term goal? Is this something that you say that, hey, you know, like some people say, well, I was able to go out there and I could drink again. But some people we know can say, I can't do that ever again. I can never pick up. So we got to make sure, like you say, we have a short time. And I always like to use Smokey and the Bandit. That's always my theme. We got a long way to go, but a short time to get there. I'm only a snapshot in your life, right? So we got to make sure that we're working diligently and effectively. We got to make sure that when we sit down, that we make sure that we maximize this time. Mm-hmm. And we got to take the momentum and the fact of that moment, we got to use that for momentum. And we got 90 days, 60 days, 30 days, whatever we may have with an individual, we got to maximize that moment. OTD Jakes, right? We got to maximize that moment and make sure that we have a clear, precise timetable to where we can say we can get this accomplished. And how, like I said, again, how confident are you that we can do this? We don't want to just set a mark out there and we know that's not going to happen. We know that we can always make adjustments, you know, because it's like OJT, on the job training. We can make adjustments, but how many adjustments do we need to make and for what reason?
Right.
You know, so we want to make sure that, hey, it's time conscientious, man. It's time conscious. Right.
When, how would you handle a situation where someone creates, they're kind of doing what we just talked about, where they act like they want to make progress, but they set some goals and their time frame is the next 12 months. Mm-hmm. And clearly they can accomplish it in much less time, but you see them procrastinating, so to speak, or kind of putting it off. Hey, Doug.
Yeah, all right, no.
Good. Thanks.
You too.
We forgot to mention that FedEx was going to guest on the podcast as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in a situation like that, one of the things that we must do is that whenever we establish those goals and things, we got to observe the behavior. We got to observe the attitude. We got to see if they're modeling the attitude and the speaking, the conversations, are they moving them in that direction? Because that's crucial. That's one of the things that I pay very close attention to when I sit down with a person. If your attitude and behavior is not matching up to the goal that you've set, the time frame that you set, then we'll go back and revisit. Mm-hmm. So if you have someone that could potentially, okay, I set this 12-month mark. Well, that's giving me that justification, that minimization of why I can rationalize what I'm doing. Well, let's go back in. Let's revisit again. We just revisit. Let's sit back down. Let's go back through some of those steps. We don't have to go back through every step, right? We can go back to measurable. We can go back to attainable. Do you think maybe you could attain this or you could accomplish this within 6 months, right? It's just going back in and kind of revisiting and re-establishing and replanting the seed and replanting that vision of, hey, you're right. Maybe I could do this because maybe that's something they have an issue with.
Procrastination.
Yeah. And right. I've been guilty of that, you know, but yeah. And so one of the things that I know that worked for myself was just that when I had someone that could say, hey man, do you really think it's going to take you 12 months?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if it does, what makes you think it's going to take you 12 months? Within those 12 months, what are you going to need to do? So it's holding them accountable and saying to them that, hey, you know, I just want to make sure that we're in conjunction with the goal that you have set, the timetable that you're setting in. Is that really realistic? And if it is, can I really attain that goal in a quicker time and move on to the next phase?
Yeah. And some of these folks may have conditions where they don't really get to choose their timeline. They may have a timeline set for them. And mm-hmm. I've had an individual who had such a situation where mm-hmm. his timeline was set for him. Mm-hmm. And so I asked him, I gave him, you know, the freedom to set this up for himself. You know, how are you going to meet this? And he had it all laid out like this many hours a week. And all right, let's do the math. That puts you 3 months behind the conditionary schedule. And it's interesting because you find out real quick that some of these folks have never done this. Like they've never actually laid it out for themselves. Mm-hmm. Chris, what about you? What is your experience with stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, I worked in prisons for a long time. And, you know, I learned that we just got to get people ready for the next step, you know, making that next right decision. So with traditional coaching and mentoring, we do look at a person's lifespan, right? 5 years, 10 years. We can look at that. But we're also going to look at, you know, what happens after that 90 days in a sober living environment. What get them ready for day 91, you know, and make sure that those mechanisms are underway for their recovery, their support system, their family, their work, their health. And those things. So it's tomorrow hasn't happened yet. And there's so many things that can get in the way of the future. You know, there's so many mitigating things, you know, and so I think I just really, the more I've been in this business, the more I like getting people ready for that next, just that very next chapter. It's fine to have long-term goals. It's awesome. But a lot of things can happen between now and then. And so if the person's struggling with a substance use disorder or a co-occurring psychiatric disorder, man, that's just a lot to manage. And so you need to manage those things as well as set those goals. So anyway, no, I think it's all spot on, you know, and I'm looking forward to here in the recent or upcoming weeks to see how we kind of get going with this and how it all plays out. So, you know, and I think the mentoring can be very direct, you know, and I think, you know, Sherrod, that there's going to be some folks that are going to need that little bit more of direction versus a coach who that might be more of a self-sustaining client. So, looking forward to see what all happens.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the beautiful thing of this opportunity that's being presented, of being able to have that flexibility of not having to stick in the perimeters of, you know, Austin, Texas, because we got to say things, we got to do things by the guidelines of the state of Texas, meaning that you're a licensed person, right? So just being able to have that different approach, I think it does decrease a lot of that anxiety. When a person knows that I'm dealing with a coach, you know, versus a therapist, or I'm dealing with a mentor versus a therapist, you know, I think it decreases a lot of the stigma. And so having this opportunity to do this, I think it's going to be interesting. I know it's going to be a challenge, but I know it's going to be very rewarding because, like I said, I've been running my own business for the last couple of years. And and have had a lot of success. You know, glory be to God. I mean, I've had a lot of success. I've seen a lot of young men overcome a lot of their inferiority thoughts and inferior thoughts and just challenge themselves and just being able to see things from a different perspective. Because if I've always seen it one way, like you say, if I wake up every morning and the only steak and eggs and potatoes that I've ever eaten in my life came from my mother and no one else, well, how can I know what a good steak really is? You know, is there a steak out there better than my mother's? Well, I wouldn't know if I don't try it. So I think that's one of the unique challenges of challenging individuals that's coming into any facility or in any from any walk of life. Can I challenge you to do something different? And I give a lot of credit to Mr. Bruce here, Mr. Cameron, because I can remember in a situation that I was in. I was elated. Yeah, I did this, I did that. And Bruce said, Well, you're supposed to do that because you're in a comfortable situation. You're in a comfort zone, you know. You know, you're in East Fort Worth, you know, you're in Southside, you know, so you're supposed to be able to do that. But can you change environments? Can you change clientele and have the same impact? Right. Was it scary? Yeah, it was. But the challenge was beautiful. And now look at where I'm at, because I was able to look at things from a different perspective and see things through different people's eyes.
That's right. That's right.
And I think that's beautiful. So this opportunity is just going to be wonderful to work with individuals that come from a different walk of life, that see things different, speak about things different, do things different than I've ever done,
right,
and being able to have that challenge to learn from them just like they're learning from me.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I want to hear how we're doing on time. Yeah, I want to follow up on that because, Sherrod, I mean, I'm so glad you brought that up because when I first met you, I didn't even understand what you were saying, man. I mean, low key. I like it. Somebody give me a translator, man, from somebody give me a translator from like Watts or from you know what I'm saying? And I remember, you know, we go from our argument about FUBU, and then you told me that that's why the white folks had Hilfiger. Hey, man. And then I said, okay, we're going to get you some Hilfiger. We got you Hilfiger real quick. Then we pulled you right
over. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
In the 092, pulled you in a big way. And man, you know what? You're a better man for it. And I'm a better man to have you as part of that. And to see, and then, man, just to see how you were able to impact individuals that had come from a significantly different culture, you know, and just to watch you thrive in that and to be yourself and to gradually become to be yourself in this whole new environment, man, that I knew you weren't used to. It's easier for me coming from prison. But anyway, that's another day. But yeah, man. So and that's what I like, you know, that's what I like about what's going on right now in the near future with the combination of the skills and talents and backgrounds that we have. So, you know, we all got to be survivors, whether you're from the hood or from wherever. We need to survive. We need to survive the circumstances that we're in, COVID-19 or loss of a job, addiction. We need to kind of get through those hardships, and we can't do it alone. And that's where we come in to offer not only our experience, strength, and hope, but also some skills and other things that go beyond that. Absolutely. That go beyond experience, strength, and hope. And I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I think the dynamic that the three of us have together is really important, because you're always going to have those people who say, you don't understand, you don't get it. You know, you haven't been where I've been. You haven't been through what I've been through. Well, once you can eliminate that and say, actually, you know, one of us might have a really good idea of what that kind of thing feels like, you know, then it actually, I know for me, when I was going through stuff and I finally encountered someone who said, no, I do,
I do know. And it was actually, rather than shutting me down, it comforted me a little bit. And then I could actually, we established some trust because I knew this person, they're not full of it. And I actually have my best interest at heart.
Right.
So.
And the thing of it is, we're in different stations of life. And so myself, I could speak for Sherrod a little bit here too. We've helped hundreds, if not thousands of people. So that makes a difference, right? So if I give you this and you take it out of my hand, and if you take this, you'll be sober or you'll be crime free or you'll live a better life. Will you take it regardless of my circumstances or where I came from or whatever? So of course they want to take it, because if they take what we have to offer and it helps them stay free and out of jail and sober and mentally healthy and moving on, they'll do that. So, you know, I was big on that, right? Because I know, you know, I would get, you know, people taking pot shots. You don't understand. You get to go home. You're white. You're middle class. I worked 6 years in a women's penitentiary, right? You know, being a man, you don't understand. I mean, no, man, look, the skills are the skills. The skills are the skills. Emotional regulation is emotional regulation. The next right decision is the next right decision, right? These are things that cut across gender or how you identify. Anyway, they cut across gender and race and ethnicity and who your higher power is versus mine or whatever. And so, man, I just can't wait, man. I'm just can't wait to see what's going on, because that's just it. Because we have the facility, and we have the experience, and we have the tools, the know-how, and the experience to come together and really do a lot for several people, cohort by cohort, I guess. So.
Oh yeah, and like you say, that's the thing, is when you know that you're doing it right. Because you're in line and in conjunction with your vertical relationship, mm-hmm. And you come in confident, and you have to be able to do that, and to take that challenge, man. I mean, it's a humbling thing. I can only speak for myself. Mm-hmm. I guess you can understand me now, huh, Mr. Bruce? So that was a
okay. Yes.
So that was a very humbling. That was a very humbling step, because again, It challenged me in a way that I've never been challenged. I mean, I've been an athlete. I've been a Marine. I mean, I've been in the hood. I'm from there. So I've been challenged in many different ways, but I've never been challenged in that way. Mm-hmm. To, can you change the scenery? Can you change the actors and actresses? Can you change the activity? Mm-hmm. And can you still be successful like you say that you are now? Yeah, so that was beautiful. Yeah. And then like you say, the way it was presented, It may have seemed like harsh, but it wasn't, because, you know, Mr. Cameron saw something that I didn't see. He saw potential in me that I didn't see. So I had to respect that. And he nourished that, and he developed that. Like I said, I've been knowing Mr. Bruce 20 plus years. And so he didn't walk away from me. He didn't. Now, there was times where we had time lapse, but it was always something internally that it was always the right time to call, whether it was Mr. Bruce calling me or me calling him. He always let me know when you're calling at the right time.
It's good.
And so that's a humbling feeling when, like Mr. Bruce just said, when I give you this, I give it to you for a lifetime. Right. It's not just something I'm giving to you, as the Bible said. Mm-hmm. If I give you a fish, you'll only eat for that meal. Mm-hmm. And then what happens? Now you're looking for me and I'm not there. But if I teach you how to fish, you'll eat for a lifetime. And that's what I feel like the magnitude of what Mr. Bruce did for me. If I can replicate that and give it to someone else, right, we're going to eat for a lifetime.
Right.
That's it right there. That's it right there. Yeah, man. Sherrod took me to a business meeting, and this dude broke out stuff out of a shoebox. I about lost my mind. I said, what? We still friends. Mm-hmm. Remember that, don't you? Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, folks, man, that's a wrap for this week. I'm going to test a little prompt here. Relapse prevention. Okay, so maybe next week I might come on the show again and talk a little bit about some relapse prevention next week. Old school relapse prevention. Want to talk about that for our listeners, and it'll be good for me to get back to my roots there and talk about some of the core aspects of relapse prevention. So that's going to be fun stuff. Mm-hmm. Looking and listening to the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio today. We'll be back next week and we'll talk about relapse prevention. Sherrod, how can folks reach you?
You can reach me. You can just go to www.nlfm@texas.org. And it's my website.
And Neil, how can folks reach you?
www.elevatedlifestyleacademy.com or Elevated Lifestyle Academy on Instagram and Facebook.
And folks can reach us at concierge_coaches on Instagram. Our Facebook page, Concierge Coaches Show, and I can be reached at conciergecoach.net. So with that, we'll bid everybody a great week. Stay safe, and we'll see you here next time on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. Take care, everybody. Have a good one.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Neil Williams, only on LA Talk Radio.